All right, so how many of you in the congregation were going to see movies in 1984? Wow, you guys are old. So even if you were not of the age at that point, you've probably heard of the movie that came out in 1984, Karate Kid. So it's the story of a young boy named Daniel. He moves to a new town and is bullied by some of his peers. He requests the tutelage after being kind of beat up. He requests the tutelage of an Asian gardener named Mr. Miyagi. He wants to be able to defend himself and put a stop to the bullying. Mr. Miyagi agrees to teach Daniel as long as Daniel does what he says without questioning. Day after day, Daniel shows up to learn karate, only to have Mr. Miyagi, to his chagrin, assign him menial tasks to do instead of training. He ends up washing and waxing the cars. Another day, he has to sand the floor. Another day, he paints the fence, and another day, he paints the house. With each task, Mr. Miyagi patiently shows him how to do the movement to accomplish each task just the way he wanted it to be done. And with each task, Daniel grows more and more frustrated. It seemed like their deal was one-sided, and he was working his arms to the bone and didn't have a clue how to do karate. 4 days later. This all comes to a head in one scene. Daniel is beyond frustrated that his training has been nothing but what he calls slave labor and tells Mr. Miyagi he is quitting. Mr. Miyagi then proceeds to demonstrate to Daniel that the tasks were the training and that every task that he had been slaving over had taught him foundational movements for self-defense. As he demonstrates this to Daniel by yelling and punching at him and kicking at him, Daniel easily blocks the moves and his eyes grow wide with wonder, because in surprise and wonder as he realizes that his body has learned a skill that his mind was just now becoming aware of. I thought this story lended itself to a useful analogy for our spiritual lives and why it is important for us to keep God's commandments. So I broke this out into 3 points. The first point is this. It truly benefits us. It is truly us that benefits from keeping God's commandments. In today's hedonistic culture, where men and women seek out pleasure and almost pleasure alone, it seems like, in their lives, God's commandments are seen as oppressive rules that only tell us what we can't do. For example, the kosher food laws means that they can't eat tasty stuff. But it only takes a quick Google search on the subject to reaffirm that the fact that these food laws are scientifically in our best interest, even from just a health standpoint. Does God command us not to eat tasty food? Of course not. You can't make it past the 3rd chapter in the Bible, where Adam and Eve partake of the fruit of the forbidden tree, to know that the momentary pleasure of a yummy snack has much deeper implications. Point number 2. If our finite minds can't explain why, as in point number 1, because God says so is enough. I know that was my favorite retort from my parents, because I said so. But in this case, it's enough. Let me first state my personal belief that every commandment that God has ever given us has real physical benefits. But outside of the fact that we know God has commanded us to keep them and will bless us for doing so, we don't always know those reasons, nor the ways we are benefiting from those commandments, or obeying the commandments. We have often heard that the Armstrongs kept the feast days for years before they truly understood their meaning and why God commanded us to keep them. On the same note, I spent my whole high school career making, and I do air quotes, sacrifices for the Sabbath. I practiced with the football team every day, but never played in a regular season game because they were all on Friday nights. I qualified to participate in the state track meet, but didn't actually compete because the event was on the Sabbath. For a kid that age, I was making real sacrifices, and it wasn't until years later that I recognized the value of the Sabbath and the lessons that keeping the Sabbath had taught me. We all have had similar experiences illustrated in each of our lives in very personal ways that obedience often precedes understanding. The same continues to be true today. There are things that I know and do just because I am commanded and cannot explain why, but I know that eventually I will learn why, and it will be enough. It'll make sense. Point number three. It is not for us to judge whether God's lessons are the best curriculum for teaching us his ways. I mentioned at the beginning of the sermonette that Mr. Miyagi and Daniel made a deal. The script of that deal goes like this. This is a little bit Yoda speak, because he's Asian, not racist. walk on left side, safe. Walk on right side, safe. Walk in the middle, sooner or later, you get squished like a grape. Here, karate is the same thing. Either you do karate, yes, or you do karate, no. You do karate, guess so, squish, just like the grape. If you could turn to Hebrews 10, verse 28 for a scripture. That's Hebrews 10, verse 28. I'll give you a minute to get there. Now, this is stern. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulting the Spirit of grace? Knowledge of the truth of God's commandments is a privilege and also a responsibility to ourselves, to God, to the Christ who died for our sins, to everyone around us, that we are commanded to bear witness of God's way of life. This scripture burns into our minds the reality that we cannot second guess and disregard God's commandments. To do so is to desecrate Christ's sacrifice and will not go unpunished. Had we never heard God's calling and never known God's truth, we would have had the chance to learn in the second resurrection. But we have heard God's calling and we know his truth. Our hand is on the plow, and we are commanded to not look back. To conclude, let's turn to Philippians 1, verse 6. It's probably a familiar scripture to all of us. Philippians 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ. In the day of Jesus Christ. Before any of Daniel's training began, Mr. Miyagi and Daniel make what Mr. Miyagi calls a sacred pact. And this is a quotation. I promise teach karate, that my part. You promise learn. I say, you do, no questions, that's your part. So allow me to translate. God has promised us eternal salvation, that's his part. At our baptism, we promise to learn. He says, we do. No questions. That's our part.